Episode. It's another week. It's another day heading into yet another day that will lead eventually to more days, and then it will no longer be 2020. That's how time works. I am Chris, Jazz Sequence on the internet. I am joined, as always, by Gary, who's Binary Gary on the internet, and Allison, who is Allison Plus
Imaginary
on the internet.
Gary.
Imaginary Gary? Did I say imaginary Gary?
No, but
I did.
Okay.
I think you should have.
Imaginary Gary. That's a different. We should create a bot that is imaginary Gary that tweets out Gary-isms. What Gary-isms could it tweet out?
I think you should probably get tacos.
something about tacos, something about bananas probably.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Maybe like a did
bananas
you know?
Has been a recurring theme on this show.
Because they're always always within your eye shot. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not so much anymore in the new house, but yeah.
But yeah, I have some right here in my drawer.
See, there you go. Bananas.
I'm surprised by that. Like that's the thing.
How are
I
you
just
doing?
Open my drawer, pull the banana out, and
how are you doing on the Walking with Gary podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, good
That's
question.
Imaginary Gary.
I
feel like there's a lot of imaginary Gary material that could be harvested from that.
I'm glad you asked. I took a walk on Thanksgiving Day in the evening after dinner and figured I'd record an episode. And 1.3 miles in, I realized I hadn't actually gotten anywhere yet. And I turned the corner and there was another dude out for a walk. And so I paused. And he walked on the other side of the road, and I walked on one side of the road, and we had a conversation for a block about each other's Thanksgiving. And then I went back the way I came, and he went back the way he came. So I never got back to it, and that was it. That was the end of it.
That's probably
interaction.
That's probably a valid ending for. I mean, our show ends abruptly anyway. So I think stopping in mid thought or stopping before
it was literally
involved,
I'm talking. I'm like, oh, hold on a second. Hey, click, and that's how it went.
That would be perfect. I don't think.
And I decided. Well, I decided to delete it actually after I listened to it because I didn't find it very compelling.
Wait, and you're I not found supposed to listen to it. That's not the point. Okay. Is to give us an imaginary Gary experience.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give it another shot. I even started off with hi, welcome to Wandering in the Dark with Gary, because that's what I was doing, working off my Thanksgiving meal. Gary mumbling about mysticism or something.
What if the other guy was recording a podcast?
Yeah, that would be the best too. That would be awesome.
And then you both have guest stars.
Yeah, that was totally what I was imagining too. He was recording a podcast, and you're wandering, and you're recording a podcast, and you're like, hey, and then you have a conversation about your podcasts.
Oh man. Well, now I feel guilty. I didn't say, how you doing, dude? Hey, I'm recording a podcast. Do you want to be a guest?
Do you want to be on this?
What do you think about this? I recorded a thing recently. I haven't done anything with it, but I recorded a thing about a D&D thing about the new D&D book. But it needs editing and shit. So I haven't gotten to that part of it, but I plan on doing that.
Can I address something from the opening?
Sure.
I don't know what I would have done if you were like, nope. I guess I wouldn't have said anything. I was just like, all right, well, cool.
You asked for permission, so.
You said we're almost to the end of 2020, and I don't know, a long time ago, there was a song on NPR that They were looking for the perfect like New Year's Eve song, and they found this song. I need to find a link. I'll share it in the show notes. It was a band singing the song "Thank God It's Over," which is a song this band wrote about the end of this year. And so I often listen to that at the end of the year because I think it's funny. It's hysterical. But also there was one year in particular where I was like, I can't wait for this year to end. It was 2015. And what happened after 2015 was 2016 happened.
Yeah. Right.
And personally for me, like it was nothing changed. Like it was just a year. 2015 was personally brutal. 2016 was personally and publicly brutal. I don't know. I had this realization like, oh, actually, I probably have a quote on it. Hold on.
Is your realization that like we're on a downhill trend? Because that's not.
I feel like this is going into the like the transition between December 31st to January 1st is going to be nothing.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is it's arbitrary. I mean, it's just a it's just ink fair. On a wall or on paper hanging on your wall or
that's fair. Or... But the difference between January 19th and January 20th might be different.
That might be a better time to celebrate the New Year.
Yeah, that might actually. We just postpone New Year's celebrations to January 20th this year.
Yeah, what day of the week is the 20th? Oh, I no longer have a calendar bookmarked on this computer. I will again next
January
year.
January 20th is a Wednesday.
Okay. So. I mean, like my acceptance of that matters. Okay, yeah, great.
So get ready, put in your sick time early. So when you get, you know, go out partying on January 20th and then you can come in hog home.
Yeah.
That's a lie because we're all going to have COVID and be sick because of COVID on January 21st. So
I'm not going out. I'm going to stay home and
yeah, nobody's going to do anything ever. It's fine.
Yeah, the passage. So I had two things. One was I was going to quote, but it was actually just time is relatively meaningless. Okay. So that's not exactly a quote. And then the next line I have
relatively meaningless.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And the next line that I have of things that I wanted to save from a Slack I'm leaving is at my funeral, please read WP Mel source code. This is kind of a grab bag of things I want to hang on to. Those were related. I mean, that was the best part is that they were related. Like it was like one message followed by another. And that's it. That's all I got. Good show. What's our topic today?
Our topic today is pronking.
Wait, what?
Did you say pronking?
No, pronking.
Pronking.
Oh.
Or to pronk. P-R-O-N-K-I-N-G. Pronking. But it's a verb, so.
Man, so
you feel like you know it?
No. Well,
again, this is one where I was just like, they'll either know it or they don't.
I mean, it sounds a lot like punking
Or pranking,
or what?
Pranking. Pull a prank on someone, pranking.
Yeah. Well, and that's sort of the same.
Similar to punking, yeah. So it's in the same family.
Same family.
Conceptually, yeah. Okay. Well, now that we've settled that.
It also seems maybe it's, I don't know. It also seems dirty. like it almost like, it seems like it's a not safe for work topic.
Well, the good news is many of us are off the clock during this call.
I mean, like you would go to Pornhub and you would look up pronking.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to do that right now.
Don't. Please don't.
I'm not sure what you would find.
Nothing.
That is for certain. Maybe something to do with like deer antlers, perhaps. Pronking.
That's a weird corner of the internet.
I love when like the only thing that I really ever know about Pornhub is that every year they release statistics.
Oh my gosh, are we coming up on
most,
that?
On most popular searches. I'm sure we are, because I'm sure they're going to do like a year-end thing by state, by like demographic, and it's fascinating stuff.
I love a good data set.
It's the weirdest take on Spotify's year-end review that I have ever heard of.
Like
what is everybody's song of the year? Mine totally makes sense.
I don't know. Okay, let's educate Gary. How do I find this out?
Do you use Spotify?
And
okay. It should be up in your face. Yeah, and you should have gotten like an email about it.
Maybe I send Spotify email to spam. But like when I open Spotify, what are they going to tell me? Like, it's music. Stop, leave me alone. Like,
unless you're like, on your mobile device, it'll come up in a banner.
Yeah, I'll do the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I have like Nope. And it applies to like free accounts too, right? Or only paid accounts?
No, all accounts.
Free accounts too, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I missed it somehow. I don't know.
There's a website you can go to. I'm sure I can find the URL.
And that's on the internet somewhere?
Yeah, on the internet. There's a website on the internet where you can go to, and it does the same thing. It does your...
Okay.
Just in a browser.
I'm not going to look now. I am going to look now. I want to know.
There was maybe 0.1 seconds in that as you were finishing the sentence. I'm not going to look. Your hands were already going to go look. anyway, my top song for the year is Reasons I Drank by Alanis Morissette.
That's a good.
I feel like it's a good 2020.
Yeah, a good drop. Yeah. My Spotify year in review has been skewed the last 2 years because of how I use Spotify for soundtracking for D&D or other games that I'm running. I have these huge playlists for different things, like different in-game things. Like I have a suspense playlist and a fight playlist and a, you know, church cleric playlist and that sort of thing. So like my like on repeat is like whatever playlist was being played. So like I think this year is more suspense. Yeah, right. Or the fight things make several appearances. So yeah, my top artist, I was in the top 0.1% of listeners for the artist Gothic Storm, which does like soundtracky music, just really like epic, big, like soundtracky
like
music.
Swelling, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A varying genres, but like, yeah, just really big, just like big epic things.
Setting the scene for sure.
Which is honestly the funny thing about that is that particular artist was suggested, like I heard about that from my son and he heard about that from his friend. So this is coming like second degree from like a 14 year old.
This is amazing.
Best music recommendations.
I haven't been excited about this any playlists, I think, as much as I'm about this one, like ever in my life. How did I not know this? It's just all songs I know.
That's the point.
That's literally
the point.
The first number one is The Muse by the Wood Brothers. So a lot of Mandolin Orange on there, a lot of Trampled by Turtles. Yeah.
They've got a good banjo, Trampled by Turtles.
Yeah. Yep.
So I need Brothers. To listen to more other things in order to like balance the scales a bit.
I know other people have said this. I do wish you could like exclude certain things, because also like meditation music, or if you're listening to something to go to sleep, you're gonna have like hours of like waves or something.
Yeah,
and like
right. Yeah. I did get there. So this year, I don't know that I noticed this in previous years, but this year they have a playlist that they build called Mist Hits. And this is like stuff that is, I guess, similar to the stuff that is in your rotation, in your 2020 list, but is not in your 2020 list, like something different. Like like recommendations. And so one of the things, and so a lot of, for me, again, like the entire playlist is mostly instrumental soundtrack music for various things. But there's one thing in there that I was like listening to it to like see if there's anything I should add to any of my playlists. But there's one thing in there that was by a band called The Ocean. And The Ocean is a progressive metal band. And as far as I can tell, all of their albums and songs are about like various like prehistoric eras, like dinosaurs walking the earth eras. And it's just, and like, it's fascinating. And it's like the song that was in the playlist was like this instrumental song, which is really cool. And I like, yeah, that's a check. And then I started listening to more of their stuff. And there's like it's screamo, like metal with like progressive elements, like, you know,
thematic,
melodic. Yeah. But like, it's really interesting. I don't know what they're saying. I have no idea. But it's really interesting to imagine somebody doing like screamo, like death metal style vocals about like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a phenomenal concept.
I'm like, I kind of that little kid when I was young, and I'm like,
no. I had to turn off my screens.
Yeah,
because I was getting so distracted by this conversation and getting sucked into Spotify. So
yeah.
Now I'm focused again. No longer distracted.
So pronking.
Pronking
is a search query on Pornhub.
I think that it was the follow-up to planking.
Planking and then pronking. So if it's different than planking, what would pronking be?
Well, planking was obviously laying face down. Pronking was on your back. So same thing, just facing the
pronking
direction.
Pronking is like that. Okay.
Just lying down.
Yes. But like holding, suspending.
I don't think that's true.
Suspending yourself off the ground, right? Though, not just like lying on your back on the ground.
Right, like planking, you always did it like stupid places.
I see. I was thinking doing
planking on a table.
Yeah, I was thinking doing planks, but planking is a different thing than doing a plank. Right. Okay.
Right. Planking was like I lay face down on a table at McDonald's.
Right. So planking is, pronking is the opposite. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
I got it.
Maybe you put the thing on top of you. I don't know.
Put the thing on top of you.
Like planking, people go like top of a mountain and plank, you know? They'd like.
Right. So like
whatever. Maybe you have to like.
Pronking would be you're underneath the park bench.
You're
put the picnic table on top of
it. So you can immediately see why it wasn't anywhere nearly as popular.
Yeah.
Gross.
Super, less hygienic than most things.
Is it not a sport? Like
a pronking championship?
Yeah, like shopping carts downhill. Curling?
The pronking champion of the United States, the U.S.
Is that what you open. Do? That's what I do when I leave the grocery store. I step on the back of the cart and pronk my way to the van.
Who doesn't?
Gold medal pronker.
It could be. Yeah. Would pronking feels like it would be some sort of a one-on-one. I don't know what that means. I only am saying that it'd be a one-on-one like tournament style thing because I've been watching The Queen's Gambit. And now I've got like.
Are you playing chess?
The only
now?
Thing I think. No, hell no.
Really?
Yeah, no.
I've always sort of dabbled on my phone, playing chess, and never really been good at it. And then that show came on, and now I play like, you know, a lot more games at a time than I used to.
And are you good?
No, not particularly. No, no. I mean, sub 1,000 rating for sure. it vacillates like. I use the chess.com app, and when you join, I think you're like defaulted to 400. So I'm somewhere between like the mid 500s and like 800, like up and down, depending on how much attention I'm paying to it. Sometimes I do things and I'm like, well, that was dumb, but you can't undo it. So, you know, some games I kind of give away in a hurry.
And do you play against human beings? I guess you play against human beings.
Yeah. Yeah, I do correspondence. So like you make a move and then they have like 14 days to make a move, and if I were really, I guess we're like really into it, like I would pay attention to like what their like habits were and maybe respond. But I just like the brain puzzle of like looking at it and going like, what's like the best move here? And then sometimes I come back, I'm like, why the heck did I do that? Like in my head, I had like a 2 or 3 move chain I was starting to set up, but I don't take notes or anything on it. So like you know, with 14 day correspondence, if they come back 10 days later, make a move, I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? Like, and you know, it, I don't know. I like it. I like it.
No, I have not. I have not started playing chess. Maybe I should. Maybe I should get it on my phone. I haven't like, I don't know. I've always had like a brain, like there's a barrier in my brain that I can't get past. Like there's just a lock that like chess is just like beyond this barrier that like in terms of wrapping my head around something. Like I get planning several moves ahead. I get like all the movements of the pieces. I get like, you know,
yeah.
But like the strategy and like how you can manipulate the board, that stuff is totally lost on me. And it's not like I don't get those things in other games. Like, you know,
I play
tabletop like, it's not like you're, all the time. Yeah. It's not like I don't understand like strategy and planning ahead and like, but like chess in particular, it's just a weird block.
How do you deal with Rubik's Cube?
Horribly. Okay. Horrible at Rubik's Cube. Yeah.
But isn't the gig with Rubik's Cube like don't people generally just like learn the patterns and then figure and then analyze the block and then use the applied patterns to make it happen? Or
but I mean that's what chess is, so the two are alike in my mind.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Cause like I have like that's interesting because like I have absolutely zero interest in Rubik's Cube. Like I look at it like,
I think that's what chess is. Maybe I'm wrong. I have a lot of opinions on chess, but I'm not a good chess player. So maybe I'm not the best person.
I think it's interesting because of the other person element. Whereas in Rubik's Cube, it's like, here's a static thing. There's a formula you can apply to solve it. I have like no interest in that. Like that's right. Seems like busy work. But like chess, like, oh, I didn't anticipate that thing that person did. And that means that I need to do something different than what I was planning on. Or
that's
I forgot
true.
Why
I mean,
I did that.
You need to shift your pattern or your strategy, but it's still, you're then embarking on a new path, like a new, like all the chess moves, they've all been done. Like it's not like.
Yeah, that's the thing that I find. So we're about halfway through the series. And that's the thing that I find like both fascinating and the thing that I think intimidated me the most when I, because I did for a period of time, like I wanted to learn, and I started like getting like chess books as a kid to sort of like figure out like how you do it. And the idea that like, oh, they're doing the Sicilian. Oh no, it's the closed Sicilian. Oh, now she's using the such and do people think about those things? Like, do they think, oh,
yes.
he did the Versace, so I'm going to do
absolutely people do
the Angorian riposte like
and I don't think that you need to like pay attention to any of that stuff to enjoy it though like
I'm like, gonna compare it to another sport now and be like you know all Bonking. The names of the moves for soccer but like you can still do all that stuff without knowing what you're doing you know what I mean like
yeah
I mean it's like awesome if you do know and if you're coaching someone it certainly helps but like
like everything it's just a shorthand like you can't just say like do this piece here and that piece there and that piece there and if they do this mm-hmm. do this like it's easier to say whatever it's called
I mean
basically
I,
I've summed up all sports as like the exact same thing and like
I mean I
yeah got, I think that's absolutely fair yes
I got in my learning about chess far enough to understand that the spaces on the board have names and that you can say like you know, king's pawn five or something, and that means a thing. That is as far as my education went.
You're like tap out. Nope.
Yeah, that's like once we're at that point, I'm like okay, that's all my brain can handle.
There are people that are so comfortable with that language that they can play it well. I guess partially in that show, right? Mm-hmm. That they can see the board in their head and know where the threats are and where they can attack. Yeah, but like my phone,
that's the whole part that I don't, that there's the block in my brain is like attacking, like that there is like a whole concept of like doing a thing, like having a plan and making it work. And like, you know, like I don't even, like, I'm just like moving the stuff on the board and trying to react to like, I can't see, like, I don't.
Okay. So reaction phone... defensive versus on the attack aggressive.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't have like alerts turned on that like, you know. vibrate or ding or anything, but it does like put like a little banner up on the screen if my phone is unlocked, because that's the option I have turned on, and it says like, you know, this person did the following, mm-hmm. and like I don't know, two times out of 17 I know what that means these days.
But like, I can do those things about other games. It's just, yeah, I don't know what my problem is. It's weird.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I consider you a very strategic, pattern-oriented person.
Well, the really interesting thing about me and board games is that I play a lot of them. And new games, like games when we get and we haven't played them through a bunch of times, I tend to do better at than the rest of the people playing. But once we've sort of settled in and we're more used to the rules and whatever, Aaron kicks the crap out of me 9 times out of 10. In most games, there's some games that I will do better than her in, very specific games, of which I can't think of right now.
I'm sure they exist.
But like after you get past that sort of learning curve, I do well on the learning curve, but like there's a certain part where I plateau and like she just like zhunk, goes past me like almost every single time.
Hmm.
Which is an interesting thing, I think, about myself, like that there's like I'm good at like the initial onboarding, and then it's just like the long term strategy. I just like just like pronking. I mean, like when I first started pronking, I was in, you know, the low 1000s. You know, in terms of my rating, but now, like, you know, now that everybody's pronking, you know, they've all passed me up. They're all in like the 2000s.
Do we confirm that it's really just one word? It's not two words.
It's not prom king.
It's not prom.
I know that, but.
Okay, and it's not sure prawn like king, egg. Like a shrimp royalty. It's not that either.
Prawn. The king of prawns. I mean, there's king crabs. Why couldn't there be king prawns?
Why not?
So
there's a shellfish joke there somewhere. I just can't
so
find it.
So if there's pronking, which is the king of prawns, then the king crab would be crab king. Crab king.
Right.
Which is a totally different sport. And also a very different Pornhub search.
Well, that was alarming. Did anybody else get a meeting alert this time?
Yes.
Well, because you're the host technically now, I think.
Oh.
Maybe he is. I don't know.
What can I do as host? How can we find out?
I'm recording.
It's a breakout room. I'll see y'all later.
Let's not. Yeah, you can do breakout rooms. That's true.
3 breakout rooms. We're on your own. Like, who does record that?
That's basically what we're suggesting you do with your podcast, though.
It's true. It's a breakout room.
Yeah, that's valid. I get it. We really appreciate the work you've done here. Maybe you could do a bit more on your own. Some siloed, you know, over there. So what is pronking?
Is it time?
I mean, we've got the alert, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm not connecting the dots. Okay, so pronking is a behavior of quadrupeds, particularly gazelles or antelopes, in which they spring into the air and lift all 4 feet off the ground simultaneously.
Oh, it's
yeah, exactly.
And for those of you listening,
Chris just imitated it. Worth the tune in.
Chris just jumped straight up in the air one time.
Chris pronged.
It's also called pronging or stotting, which I think are less exciting than pronking.
To be fair, though, had you used either one of those, I still wouldn't have gotten it. So
yeah. And they're not quite sure. Basically, like, I don't know. Scientists aren't exactly sure why they do it. They're basically, the assumption is that they do it to basically show to predators that they're like, I'm really hard to catch. Don't even try.
So why
I feel like somewhere there has to be a scientist at a party going like, what if they're just doing it because it's fun?
Yeah.
Hey, right. Y'all, I'm serious. Like, folks, like, what if they're only doing it because it's fun?
They're just basically maybe? Like, trampoline, wee.
All the other scientists are like, no, stop. Stop, scientist.
So why did I immediately assume that it had to do with some sort of antlered mammal?
I know. Like, I thought that was interesting because I was just like, oh, we're on an interesting tangent here and I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, because
I guess
was
like
my
antler prongs.
Yeah, well, that's where my brain went because of because pronking, and so like I was thinking prongs and like but like not prongs like fork prongs, like it was definitely antlers. Yeah, that's I don't know.
The word itself comes from an Afrikaans verb pronk, which means show off or strut.
Mm.
That's cool.
That's where we get prance from.
Mm. Pronk. Mm.
I didn't realize that by prance, I'm showing off.
So now
you're,
I'm thinking
associated that with it.
Now I'm thinking that the Pornhub search results for pronking would probably involve either the wearing of antlers. Like kind of like butting people or just like weird people jumping up and down.
I just hope it's people just jumping up and down.
Yeah, that would probably be the best thing that it could possibly be
for everybody.
For all involved.
Yeah,
for everybody involved. I just feel like that's the simplest
everybody
answer.
Watching everybody performing. Yeah, that's just let's just leave it at that.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Al, some questions.
Can I tell you why this makes me uncomfortable?
Yes.
Last year, we had a headband with antlers on it that you would throw rings at, like as a holiday game.
And now you're seeing that in relation to a.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna have to lose that tie-on antler set. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to
matriculate
to the
church. Spoil that for you forever.
Yep.
You're welcome.
We do have one. It was a day before Thanksgiving, Allison question. Day before American Thanksgiving, which is which Golden
Wait,
Girls...
is Canada no longer part of North America?
No.
We have a different Thanksgiving than
you. I know, but I understand. But if you say American, you're encompassing like a pretty broad swath of land in two hemispheres.
Sure, okay, but American, yes, okay.
I don't think Mexicans
United States
or Canadians want to be grouped in.
Yeah,
I understand.
I'm being United Statesist.
Yeah.
Now
you're USians,
right? USians. Right. What's so the question is.
You know, the people from the infected folks.
Which Golden Girl do you most identify with?
Do you not know the Golden Girls, Gary? Come on.
I mean, I not well enough to name them.
Yeah, it's been decades since I've watched it because I used to watch it with my grandmother when it was actually on TV. Mm-hmm. And so I don't remember the character names as much, but the oldest of the Golden Girls, I think, is the one that I enjoyed watching the most.
Oh, wow.
Mostly because she was super, like, sarcastic and embittered.
Were there three or four of them?
There were four.
Okay. One of them was one of the characters' mothers.
I do remember one as being extremely sarcastic.
Yeah.
And
her daughter is also fairly sarcastic as well, but like she was like yeah.
I'm sad I can't answer this.
And then there's Betty White who was amazing, but also kind of like Betty White was like the airheady, like we're not entirely sure if she's all there sort of character.
She's
I guess.
Still alive, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
there's not a good way to ask that.
And then there was like, Blanche. Blanche is the other one, right? She was the one that was like often like going out on dates with all the men at they were like in a retirement community or something, right?
They were kind of they lived somewhere in Florida.
Yeah.
So
I guess all of Florida is basically a retirement community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
so it doesn't even matter.
I always thought they were just like all in the same house, but.
Well, they were all in the same house, but I think they're in just a regular community because I think the threat was always to send her mom to a place called Shady Pines, which was an actual retirement community.
I would venture a guess there are hundreds of Shady Pines. In Florida.
I know that there are some in, like San Diego has them, I know.
They so many are named for like I worked at Coral Oaks when I was in high school. Which was a retirement home, and I worked waitstaff in one of the dining rooms.
nice.
Shady not really. Pines. No, it wasn't nice at all.
Shady Pines just sounds like, you know, like a place in like a Friday the 13th movie, like you know, going off in like the sketchy forest. There's like the Shady Pines camp.
Shady Pines.
Yeah. Super, super sketch.
There was at Coral Oaks, there was the Evergreen Party every year, which was where, as waitstaff, we were always wearing tuxedo shirts, but we had to wear like a jacket to serve, and the residents all got really dressed up. And there was often a carved swan, I'm not sure why, an ice swan. And at the end of the night during cleanup, generally the swan would get chucked into the swimming pool from the third or fourth floor, because some of the staff would join the residents in celebrating. I was too young to drink, but I did one year jump into the pool with the swan.
From the third or fourth floor?
No. Just from the side of the pool.
To join the swan.
Just to join the yes. swan in the pool.
Yeah, in my tux shirt. Yep. Yep. The head chef would sit like out there and carve some kind of beast and
roast beast.
And he would have a flask with him and was just like slowly getting more and more hammered through the night. It was fantastic. It was like the one time of year that place was really let loose. It was wild. I think I was only there for 2 or 3 years, but it was something. I mean, it was a high school job, so it was probably like 15 hours a week or something stupid. And I'm sure I took a lot of time off. It was a place. It was fine. I kept gas in the car. Barely.
Yeah, my, my high school job was working at the grocery store, so.
Yeah. I had that one for a while, and then I was a solder monkey for a while. And I can't remember, honestly, which one. I'm pretty sure I did the soldering stuff first, and it just didn't pay well enough before I went to Coral Oaks and moved up in the world.
Moved up in the world to Coral Oaks.
Yeah. The salad bar one year, someone, not during the Evergreen Party, just in general. After cleanup, someone laid down in the salad bar and covered themselves up with a tablecloth so that they were locked in when everybody else left. And then they got out of the salad bar and I guess raided the kitchen and stole some ice cream and lost their job.
Doesn't feel good.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.